Chapter 14, The Gravity and Levity of the Situation. Protons, neutrons, electrons, whole atoms, and even clusters of 60 or more atoms called buckyballs have all been found to pop in and out of a wave-like state where they no longer appear to exist. With the help of Larson's new physics model, we now see that these particles are popping into a parallel reality called time-space, where time is three-dimensional. Dr. Vladimir Ginzburg turned a classic Einstein equation upside down and found that atoms and molecules lose mass as they are accelerated to the speed of light and beyond. Then we discovered that by simply smashing or shaking an object, as in Kozarev's experiments, or rapidly rotating an object, as in De Palma's spinning ball experiment, we can apparently accelerate the internal movement in an atom past light speed and measurably reduce its weight. Kozarev also found that it took about 15 to 20 minutes for the missing mass to return, and it did so in sudden jumps, rather than a smooth gradual change, as we might expect. In this new science, gravity and time are interconnected. Ultimately, all atoms are vortexes of motion within an energy most people call gravity, and which we are calling the source field. Let's look at a whirlpool in a stream of water for a minute. Does any of that water actually disappear when it goes into the whirlpool? What happens to the water after it shoots through the vortex? Does it shift into some parallel reality, never to return? Of course not. The water is obviously still there in the stream, and it keeps right on flowing along. How does this apply to the Earth? Simply put, the energy flowing into the Earth must also flow back out of the Earth. Gravity, as a downward force, must also have an upward force. And my favorite name for gravity's counterpart is levity. The source field, or gravity, rushes into our planet to create all the atoms and molecules on Earth simultaneously. But it still has to keep moving. Once this same flow of energy streams back out of our planet, it has now lost some of its momentum, so it would be traveling a little more slowly than it went in. Once you understand this, you will see there may be an upward pushing force from the Earth that is in a constant tug of war with the downward pushing force. And the downward force only wins by a very small amount. If we did not have the upward pushing force to balance everything out, we would very likely be instantaneously crushed flat by the pressure of gravity. Atoms and molecules are nothing more than vortexes within gravity. In Larson's model, there are only three real dimensions. And in this absolute reality, space and time are one and the same. You then have two parallel realities where the space in one reality creates the time in the other reality, and vice versa. There is a constant flowing exchange between these two realities going on within every atom. When an atom pops over into time-space, its spinning momentum is transferred over into the fluid-like energy within the parallel reality, and it is no longer affected by gravity in our own space-time. Gravity now moves right through that area without pushing on the atom anymore. However, if the atom, or vortex in time-space, starts losing its speed and momentum, gravity pulls it back over into space-time. The full transition can take 15 to 20 minutes in a larger object with many atoms, as we saw in Kozarev's experiments. Interestingly, the renowned mathematician and physicist Roger Penrose said in a 1997 issue of Scientific American that gravity triggers the transition between a particle and a wave at the quantum level. Dr. Hal Puthoff calculated that there was a direct relationship between gravity and the trembling motion within all particles the Germans dubbed Zitterbewegung. Back in 1982, Princeton scientists had discovered that electrons become fluid-like when kept at super cold temperatures and zapped with the world's most powerful magnet, This fits very nicely with our model. The electrons seemed to cooperate and work together to form what scientists call a quantum fluid, an extremely rare situation where electrons act identically in lockstep, more like soup than as individually spinning units. Levity creates thrust. And here's my favorite part of all. Theoretically, an atom in space-time gets pushed on by gravity. But once an atom pops over into time-space, it gets pushed on by levity. This means that within our reality, that atom now has thrust as long as it is still bound together with other atoms that have not yet popped over. Therefore, if you want to get an object to levitate, you would need to bring its molecules to a point where they are half in and half out of our own three-dimensional reality of space-time. That way, the levity force can then balance out against gravity, not unlike how you can float perfectly still underwater by controlling how much air you hold in your lungs. If you push an object too far over into time-space, it will dematerialize. Then the same force that was causing it to rise up in our reality will now make it fall down in the parallel reality. Gravity takes over, but in a totally parallel reality. This may work in a manner similar to a Möbius loop as you pass between realities. Nature uses these principles all the time. The DNA molecule stores photons of light, and it appears that this same flip-flopping at the light-speed boundary is what allows DNA to easily exchange energy and information between space-time and time-space, between our physical body and our energetic duplicate. In the remaining part of this chapter, we will explore gravity shielding effects occurring in air vortexes, tornado levitation,